Morning, how are we? Good to see you. Hope you've got your coffee and everything together. I see a few from the comments. People are ordering them from Madge and Philip, which is great. So Philip's got a bit of a job on his hands delivering all the coffee and the tea around. It's great to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. And even though the weather's changed a little bit here down in Swanage, we're in for a good day because God's in this day, which is brilliant. So really, really good to have you with us. And whether you're first time with us or whether you're on the phone, great. Thank you for joining us. Really good. Let's commit our time to God, shall we? Let's pray. So Father, thank you for, by the wonders of technology, we can still meet together. And even though we're not physically together, we want to thank you that, Lord, you meet with each and every one of us. So, Lord, wherever we are, in our homes, wherever it is, Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would touch us, you would stir us, and that, Lord, you do your work in us for the sake of your kingdom. So, Lord, we give you the glory, we give you this time, and our hearts and our minds be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good, good. Okay, just a few announcements before we kick in. We've got quite a bit going on today. We've got a few visitors on video, which is brilliant. But on Wednesday this week, it's our Worship on Wednesday. And a huge thanks to Adam and the Grace Sends team, who you're going to see in a few minutes anyway, helping to lead our worship today. But with Worship on Wednesday at 7. So do join us for that if you can. We continue to have the building open here at Emmanuel throughout this week for our opportunity for personal prayer. So if you would like to come and join us, and it's open for anybody between just 2 hours in each session, Monday evening, Wednesday morning and Friday afternoon, details are on our webpage. You'll see an advert there for personal prayer. So do come and join us if you'd like. There's a few videos and other things if you haven't been able to catch up. I did a reflection earlier this week, and if you haven't seen some of our other services, then you're more than welcome. It'd be great. That's via this Facebook page as well. And I look forward to seeing some of you on our coffee time after the service as well. And if you've not yet connected with us, then we'd love you to do that. Again, leave a message and we'll make sure you get the Zoom connections for all the things which we're doing. So that's really good. Okay, so I'm going to hand over to Adam and the Grace Sends team who are going to lead us and begin our time of worship together. Bless you.
Good morning. We're going to start by asking God's presence to be right with us where we are. Well, it is anyway, but it's a matter of recognising God's presence with us. And in your front room or in your kitchen or wherever you are, we're going to sing together, "Let Your Glory Fall in This Room." What a scary thing to say, isn't it? It's okay for in church, but in my living room, it's fine.
Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face. Let your glory fall in this room. Creation is longing
Peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. Well, hello, Emmanuel. My name is Richard Doherty. I'm the youth minister here. And today I want to talk to you about how God can do incredible and even impossible things. And I was thinking about what is something that seems impossible. And what I've got here is I've got a nice hard-boiled egg. I've got a glass bottle here. And the egg doesn't fit in the bottle. Now, if I wanted to, I could smush it in there with my hand, but that would ruin the egg, okay? And that wouldn't be very good. Or I could break the top off the bottle and put the egg inside, but again, that would break the bottle and that wouldn't be good. And what I want to try and do today is show you a cool experiment about how you can get something big into something small. Okay, and I'm also going to talk to you a little about God. Now, this is a cool experiment you can do at home, and all you need is a glass bottle with a wide mouth, a hard-boiled egg that doesn't quite fit, and some paper. And what we're going to do is I'm going to fold up this paper, okay? And then this is the bit where you might need mum and dad or whoever look after you, or a spouse if you're a bit reckless at home, let's get this right. Now, this is live, so this has to work. Okay, what you're going to do is you're going to light your paper. I'm in the kitchen right now, so that we don't set off the smoke alarms in the church. Let the fire... Oh! Going in your... Oh, it's gone out. Took too long. Let's get that a bit quicker. Quick, before the smoke alarms go off in church. Here we go. Come on, catch. There we go. Get that in there. Get our egg on top. And... Oh! Look at that. It's in. Okay, that's very, very cool. I just put my hand over that so the smoke alarms go off. So do you see what happened there? That's a very cool experiment with air pressure. You put the fire in the bottle and it sucks all of the air out. It changes the air pressure and it sucks the egg inside. But if I said to you at the beginning, I'm going to get this egg inside this bottle, you probably thought... That is impossible. And this is something Jesus says about the nature of God. He says, with man, sometimes things seem impossible, but with God, all things are impossible. Now, what Jesus was talking about was about how people can be saved. He said, with man, we can't be good enough just to earn our way into heaven. We can't do it on our own, but with God, he makes the way possible. And that's what we think about at Easter, how Jesus made the way for us to know the Father and be saved. But also, we were just singing a song with Adam and Hope and Joe about how God is like a fire. And actually, when Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us, a bit like that bottle, we've got a fire inside of us which lets us do amazing, impossible things. Sometimes the Holy Spirit helps us to follow God. Sometimes he helps us to break bad habits and to stop doing things we know are wrong. Sometimes he helps us to be really brave and tell other people about Jesus. So if you're a Christian, you are even more amazing than this magic trick and this science experiment, because you've got a special fire in you who helps you to do incredible things. And if you aren't yet, then God can still work wonderful things in your life. Nothing's impossible. Okay, if you want to be friends with God, you can through Jesus. Thank you very much. We're going to hear from Rod, a member of our church, and a little bit about how lockdown has been affecting him. Over to him.
When I'm in England, which is never actually in the spring normally, I'm doing gardening. And so that's summer and winter basically when I'm home from work. But this has actually been my first English spring for 6 years actually. And so it was great, in a sense. I haven't been affected by the lockdown in terms of work. Yeah. I'm free at the moment, as you can see, no babies around. Abigail's out with Grace for a walk. And so this time of day, I'm usually free for a bit and I do some gardening. And then in the afternoon, baby has a sleep for, we hope, a couple of hours. And so I go and do a gardening job then. Yes, it's looking now. The most recent thing we had from the university was that there was only about a 10% chance that we could get back for the autumn term, the beginning of the academic year this year. In practice, that has dropped to zero, because the powers that be, where I normally am, are very wary of letting anyone in. Obviously, it's well known that we are the third worst country, aren't we, in terms of numbers of deaths, isn't it? So it's looking now as if everyone is pushed back to spring next year, so end of February. So it looks as if I'm going to be around for better or for worse. Yeah, because it's just such an amazing story. Not time for it now, but if anyone's interested, I can tell anyone all the background to how I actually came to be over there, and it goes back to 2014, thanks to Margaret Dalton, actually, for putting a one-line message in on the church website, a meeting to go to in Bournemouth, and we'll start it off from there. Yeah, it's one of those times when really specifically guided, very almost physically, go here, turn that way, go and see that person. It was sort of on a plate, as it were, and I felt it's not been all plain sailing by any means, but a great opportunity to do what I've been doing. People have been joining in, or watching anyway, the services, who wouldn't normally come to church, but they can have a peek, and maybe that peek comes more of a look, and eventually they might be drawn in by the positives, and they might be surprised, and I hope that's been happening quite a lot. Yeah. Yeah, well, in a sense, two specific things. I mean, one is one practical thing I haven't mentioned is that normally I go and visit my brother up in Surrey once every 2 weeks or so, and that's all been stopped, and he's very understanding about that, so he lives on his own. He's got a marvellous neighbour who helps him constantly. But so that's one practical thing, that I'll be able to go and visit him at some point. And another practical thing, though, is just that I'm really missing the dental hygienist. Very specific, but I had an appointment in April that was postponed till now, perhaps literally today or round about now. Now that's been postponed again till October, so I've got to wait another season to get to the dentist. One of the main things I've, in a sense, alluded to is being back together with three-dimensional friends and brothers and sisters, as opposed to being on the flat screen.
Hey, that's great. Thank you, Rod. Hey, I think we need to get Rod around to our homes. His garden is lovely, isn't it? So perfect. Anyway, bless you, Rod, and thank you to Dougie as well for making that happen. That's really good. Okay, we're going to go back to Grace Sands for a bit more worship. Bless you.
We're going to sing Amazing Grace. This is Amazing Grace. This is Unfailing Love. For all that you've done for me.
amazing grace. It is so great in love that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I've seen for all that you've done for me. Amazing grace.
I am your child.
Thanks so much, Adam, and it's lovely to see Hope. It's good to have you home with us at the moment. Brilliant. We're going to move to the Word now, and we've got a guest, someone who you'll know, and that's Fee. Now, just for those of you who are not aware, Fee is just come to the end of her second year at Moorlands Bible College, over the other side of the water in there in Christchurch. And Fee has been doing her placement with us, and it's been brilliant to see Fee do all sorts of stuff and get all sorts of new initiatives and things off the ground. So it's brilliant, and it's lovely to be able to have the opportunity of her to share the Word with us this morning. So Fee, over to you. Thanks.
Hi guys, my name's Fee. I've just finished my second year studying theology at Moorlands College. And I'm looking forward to sharing with you today something that God's been placing on my heart for this time. So how's lockdown been for you? For some of us watching, lockdown will have been a really challenging time full of unprecedented circumstances to cope with. For some of us, we may have actually found that we've had more of a chance to spend time with family or just to slow down a bit and take stock of things, maybe even find new ways to do things. But whatever we've been through in the last few months and whatever we're going through as we look to the future, we can know Jesus' goodness in every situation that we face. And that's what the two sisters that we're going to be looking at today found. They knew Jesus through thick and thin. They knew Jesus when their brother Lazarus died, and they knew him when he raised Lazarus back to life. They knew Jesus when Mary, one of the sisters, anointed Jesus with a year's worth of wages of the finest perfume, recognising him as king. And they knew Jesus on this day when he turns up at their door for a day like no other. So we're going to be looking now at the book of Luke, and it's chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now, as they were travelling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So we've got a bit of a problem here. We can fully understand why Martha is in a bit of a flap, desperately trying to get things ready for Jesus' arrival. And that as he sat there with Mary at his feet, she wants to make sure everything is perfect. And we can fully understand that if God himself, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, set through our doors, we would want to roll out the red carpet big time to get ready for him, to make sure that he had the best of times at our houses. But that is not what Jesus is looking for. Mary has taken this good part, she's chosen this good part, and this will not be taken away from her. So what does Jesus mean by that? At this time in the last few months, with this whole lockdown and coronavirus season, we may have found that actually it's become incredibly hard to find that time with our King. We may have found that actually lockdown has brought with it even more pressures than we had before, with many more decisions and things to think about every day that make it much harder to spend this time with him. But what we see with Jesus and what we're seeing here with Mary at his feet is that Jesus is worth prioritising above all else. And we see that with Jesus, that wherever he goes, before he brings his power into the world, before he performs miracles, before he teaches the crowds in the temple each day, before anything, he seeks the Father first. He walks in the Trinity of God the Father, himself, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, doing everything as a family, as a God family. And we're invited to do the same. Jesus tells us that if he was just coming in his own name, people would accept him. But people struggled to accept him in those days as he walked on earth because he was coming in his Father's name. And so wherever he goes, he is seeking the Father's will in everything he does and walking by the power of the Spirit. And this means that Jesus is able to be used to bring the kingdom of God, the power and the glory of God, to every situation that he comes into. Whether it's on mountains, whether it's in fields, beaches, the sea, marketplaces, the well, the roadside, festivals, the temple, wherever he goes, he finds ways to bring restoration, peace, joy, hospitality, generosity, and challenge his holiness into every situation that he faces. Because he's walking in step with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. And we're invited to do the same. And like Jesus, we're invited to come and spend this time with him before we go out into the world and face the challenges ahead of us. So we see that Jesus seeks the Father before he walks on water, and that he spends nights on the mountainside with his Father before teaching in the temple in the daytime. And so we can see that Mary here is replicating that, that she's seizing this once-in-a-lifetime chance to sit with God himself and find out all about him. But the position that Mary is taking here is actually that of a disciple. A common rabbinic saying of the first century was, "Let your house be a meeting place for the rabbis, and cover yourself in the dust of their feet, and drink in their words thirstily." So this is a traditional place where disciples sat with their rabbis, learning from them, like it says, drinking of their words thirstily, asking questions and being trained up to be teachers themselves. And so Mary here is being recognised as a disciple as she sits with Jesus. And Mary is being invited to do so as well. And we see also that Jesus places a huge emphasis on hospitality. Whether people are coming to his house for healing, or whether he is providing the mother of all picnics as he feeds the 5,000. Whether he's transforming the ordinary into the extraordinary, making the natural supernatural as he creates the finest of wine out of normal everyday water at a wedding. And of course, when he spends time with the disciples, when he's just been resurrected back to life, he celebrates this time with a barbecue on the beach that he's made for his friends. So hospitality is a huge factor in his ministry, whether he's going to stay at other people's houses or creating opportunities to share food and drink together. And we see that all over the Gospels in different ways. With Zacchaeus, this rejected man, this tax collector who's stolen money from people, and so definitely not in people's good books. He not only proclaims this message of salvation and forgiveness to Zacchaeus, but he invites himself around Zacchaeus' house. Before Zacchaeus knows it, he's gone from being this little man up a tree at the back of the crowd that no one really cares about, to being the one person Jesus has identified in the crowd to spend time with. When Jesus meets the woman at the well in John 4 and asks her for a drink, he is inviting this kind of communion, again, a shared experience of drinking water together. And he goes from there, again, transforming the everyday ordinary of the well into the extraordinary, telling her everything that she's done and offering her living water to cleanse her and give her new life from the things that she has been through, from the life that she's had. And she is then able to go back into her city, the city of Samaritans, a race deeply rejected and reviled by others, and tell them what he has done. And they believe in an instant because of the powerful authenticity of her testimony. And so here, he then goes to stay in those Samaritans' houses. So he's actually not just, again, speaking to them and sharing this message of salvation, but he is then actually going the full way and going to stay in their houses. Again, these people that, you know, he would have been very much frowned on for doing so. He eats with people and he drinks with people, whether they like him or not. And even when they're trying to trip him up, he wants to give everybody that fair chance, that equal opportunity to know him, to seize the moment. And we see that with the Pharisees when Simon the Pharisee invites him round and they spend the night trying to kind of challenge him and question him and catch him out. Jesus wants to spend this time with people as he comes along to Mary and Martha's house to spend time with them, because it's part of his everyday ministry on earth, this hospitality, this communion with people everywhere he goes. And this incidental, powerful healing and encounters with people as he opens the eyes of the blind and heals the lepers just on the roadside, incidentally, as they're there, because he's walking in this family, the Spirit and the Father. And we're called to do the same. And so Jesus coming to spend time with Mary and Martha is part of this everyday hospitality mentality that Jesus is part of and seeks out, and is very much about who he is, wanting to prioritise spending time with his Father first and then the people he made, the people that he loves more than anything. So we can see here then that the kingdom of God comes to Mary and Martha's household, and they see this in terms of the time they get to have with Jesus that we can have now, 2,000 years later, by the power of his Spirit, as we seek him out, as we ask him questions, as we get into that throne room place, that private space with him, so that we can walk with him to bring his power, heaven, to earth. And we see that not only does he prioritise the Father, but then he puts people first. He seeks out time with his friends, with his disciples, with the people that want to know him, but also gives time to people that don't want to know him, because he loves all people and he does want to give everyone a chance to get to know him. And you might be thinking today, well, I don't know Jesus yet, but I really want to. I'd really like to find out more about this. And if you would, if you have any questions or you would just like to know more about this, then please feel free to get in touch with us via our email address, contact@emmanuelbc.org.uk, or via our website. But it's incredible to know that Jesus himself, who walked on the earth with the people that we've mentioned and many more 2,000 years ago, wants to know us today and be in friendship, in partnership with us. And the third thing we're going to look at is justice. This whole idea of the way that the part of the kingdom of God coming to earth is bringing his justice. Everywhere he went, Jesus turned around cultural prejudices and beliefs that were deeply holding people back unjustly from being able to live the life that he had planned for them and be the people that they were made to be. So we see this with, for example, with the woman in, again, the book of Luke, where she has she's had a hemorrhage for 12 years. She's been bleeding and seen as ceremonially unclean for 12 years. Not allowed to go near anyone else. Not allowed to touch people. Not allowed to have a normal life. And yet Jesus heals her in an instant. Not just bringing that physical healing, but also bringing this powerful restoration in other people's eyes as well. In this public society that she'd been so cast out from, so ostracised from. We see the same with many other people that he comes across, where he turns these kind of cultural prejudices on their heads and brings about a new way, the living way, the resurrection way, the kingdom of God way. And the Bible says, I, the Lord, love justice, I hate robbery. And so actually, I believe there is actually a deeper kind of subtext going on here as well as we read this passage in Luke with Martha and Mary. Not only is Mary seeking out Jesus because he is king, he has made her and he wants to spend this time with her. She wants to get to know him as a daughter of God because that is who he has made her to be. And she's become this disciple, this follower of him, where her main priority is to become more like him and to grow, to walk with him in partnership with everything she does, fulfilling her best potential and her fulfilling her calling in life that Jesus has given her to do. And this is an eternal calling to spend time with him, to be with him forever, that will never be taken away from her. That's what Jesus means by saying that one thing is necessary and it will not be taken away from her. But we can see that there's a cultural expectation being placed on her. As a woman in that time, in the first century, she wasn't really expected to be spending time in this public domain, sitting with the other disciples and her brother Lazarus and learning from him. But Jesus turns this around. He doesn't allow other people's expectations and prejudices to be put on her and to hold her back. And we're called to do the same, to seek out where there's an injustice and bring it into the hands of our living God who wants to change things. We see that when the disciples point out that the people have no food and then Jesus challenges them to do something about it. We're challenged when we see these cultural prejudices, when we see these systemic beliefs about what other people should be able to do or can't do because someone's decided that. We're called to call them out on it and to change things, to bring this into the hands of a Father that cares about every single person that he made, every person that is equally and preciously in his image, and bring justice by the power of God into that situation as he would do it. So we see here that Jesus is not letting Mary be prevented from spending this crucial time with him as she finds out about him, so that she can know him forever, and also so that she can tell others, be trained up as a disciple of his. So we can see that the kingdom of God then comes about turning the ordinary into extraordinary, bringing the supernatural out of the natural in everywhere that Jesus goes. And it's always by the power of God bringing about this reflection of who he is and all of his generosity, his kindness, and in these unpredictable, incidental ways that we could never necessarily imagine or predict, that when we're walking in this power in the, of the family of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we never know how he'll use us and what he wants to do with our lives. And ultimately, being in God's family, being brothers and sisters of Jesus, being the Father's son and daughters, is the best thing ever. And it's the best place to be. And so if you don't know Jesus yet, and you're wondering why, what all this is about, the reason that Jesus tells Mary this, that this will not be taken away from her, is because the eternal is what really counts above everything. Because what Mary is finding is that knowing Jesus is going to, and being in relationship with him, is going to last forever, and that this will never be taken away from her. And if we ask Jesus to take our sins on himself, to take away the wrong things we've done, we can know new life and relationship, partnership with him, as we find out why we're made, what we're made for, and who we're made to be in partnership with. And that is the best place to be. And this is eternal. It's not the transitory life that we see here on earth, but it lasts forever. And it means that spending this time with God is really the most important thing, that ultimately is the one thing that is necessary. So if you would like to become a child of God today and you want to know more about it, then please feel free to get in touch. Finally, we're going to pray together. So please feel free to join me in praying if you would like to. Jesus, we thank you so much that you are with us, and that by the power of your Spirit, we can walk with this God family, God in three persons, as we do our life on earth. And we pray that you would use us by the power of your Spirit in every situation that we face, that you bring your goodness and your transformation, your healing and your light into everything and every place, and everything that we do and everything that we are part of. We pray that you bring your Spirit, your living presence into our lives in greater measure. And we pray, Lord God, that you would draw us nearer to you than before. Help us to find those places where we can get into that private room with God and really get to know you more, as we see Jesus did on the mountainside and Mary did with you. And we just pray, Lord God, that you bring justice to earth, Lord God, that you would bring the kingdom of God, the power of your justice and your goodness, Lord God, in greater measure as we seek you out for that. So we pray that you'd be with us today and also in the next week ahead, and just help us, God, in every circumstance we're going through, whether we're rejoicing right now in the good things or we're actually facing really challenging and tough circumstances. We just pray that you would be with us today and just bring your comfort and your peace and your health. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Fee, so much. That was really good. A very timely word, I believe, during this whole season of lockdown, which is strange for all of us, but Jesus wants to be part of it all. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much. Let's start to bring our service to a close, and we're going to sing our final song. So over to you, Adam. Thank you.
Our last song this morning is A Happy Day. Let's sing together.
Jesus is alive. stand in that place. Free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive, is alive.
Superb, and I hope you found it really stimulating. I found it's really been difficult, hasn't it, to have to cope with lockdown and see everybody through screens. And I know you've had to put up with Rich and myself over the last number of months as well, all through this screen. And I've been doing the same, of course, and I've been a lot of it has been in just connecting with leaders. And one of them is a particular group, of course, who have been very significant for all of us during lockdown, and that's our life group leaders. Well, we had the privilege on Friday this week of being able to gather here at the church in our prayer garden. And it was just lovely to be able to see each other, all socially distanced, I might add, but it's been lovely to be able to physically be in the same area with each other. So that was really brilliant. But they, in fact, are now going to close our service with the grace. So, thanks for joining us again, and the Lord bless you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all forevermore.